Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And welcome to another week of shows on KFOX for the Astrology Hour, when we discuss commercial-free astrological metaphysical topics the first half hour of the show, and in the second half hour of the show, we take calls. No readings on Monday, but all kinds of fun conversations. And then we make our appeals during the second part of the show, hoping people will send away for our charts and services to keep us on the air. And today I'm going to talk about some issues of karma as my topic. Because we have a caller so early in the show, I'm going to go to her first and then do the topic because I don't want this nice lady to wait. And Kathy, you know I'm not doing readings today, right?
Hi. Well, this is sort of a general question.
Okay.
A friend of mine who listens to you told me to call and ask you this because I'm worried about earthquakes here, and I have friends in San Francisco, and she said you might know when the next ones will be happening.
And there's a big article in this Sunday's edition of the LA Times.
Yeah.
That was a special report that said awaiting the big one, and when you saw the Newport Inglewood fault there and all the fault systems, and also the San Andreas fault, one wonders why real estate is so high in Southern California.
Yeah.
It's like, why would I want to buy real estate in Palmdale, which is right on the San Andreas fault, or even in Inglewood for that matter, but people do. And if you don't get the expensive earthquake insurance and there is a big bad quake, then you're dead. You'll lose your house, you'll lose your investment, and possibly your life too, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it is a big question. And you know what? I hate to say this, but I think that the consciousness of this area of California, in fact, the entire West Coast, is so earthquake aware. And the United States of America keeps exploding these underground nuclear tests. It's almost like they're trying to blow us into the water. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense to me that they would explode a nuclear bomb several miles under the surface and say, no radiation escape. This is the Earth. This is a planet. This planet has essence and an entity and consciousness and feelings. It's already upset enough that we've pulled all of its blood out, all of its oil out, and we're paving the heck out of it all over the planet. And the Earth is going through its own transition right now. If you look at the Pacific Ocean, Kathy, you'll notice that it's like a big hole. Except for Hawaii and a few other islands out there in Tahiti and Micronesia, there once was a great continent that was in the Pacific that was called Lemuria. And because of the great Earth changes over the thousands of years, not only has this continent disappeared, but it's also brought much of what they call the Ring of Fire, which outlines all the way around Japan, Alaska, Canada, United States, down to South America. And all this coastline has been sinking for thousands of years. And here we are living in this area that has shown further change. You know, and I'm not saying that L.A. is going to fall in the ocean in our lifetime, but frankly, within the next 2,000 years, I hate to say this, but I kind of tend to think that the coastline for the entire Ring of Fire is going to recede. So we have to expect that part of that is going to be earth changes and a lot of earthquakes. Now, because of all these transits going on, I think L.A. is extremely vulnerable this last 3 years, but I'd say in the next 12 to 18 months, with focus on the next 3 months, we could get hit with a pretty strong-sized quake. And if you read that article in the Times, which is excellent, you know this city is way unprepared. But the only thing that would survive would be our big skyscrapers, probably. And otherwise, it'd be like the city would be nuked. Do you own a house here in town?
No, I don't.
Uh-huh. You know what they say where I come from? As long as I'm on the air, I guess we're pretty safe. If I ever left L.A. or left the city for any reason without really spelling it out, that might give someone an idea that the quake was going to be soon. You know, the prophecy that I heard, Kathy, was that Tokyo would be leveled first before L.A. would be hit, that there'd be such a severe quake in Tokyo, complementary to the Turkey quake, the China quake, and the Mexico quake. There would be a catastrophic quake in Japan where thousands would be killed or injured, and that, to me, would be a sign that L.A. was next.
One more comment. Have you heard about the Northwest Indian prophecy that says, when the little sister speaks, the grandfather will answer, and all the land will be cleared to the ocean?
Right.
And that refers to the little sister.
San Francisco.
No, the little sister is Mount St. Helens.
Oh, Mount St. Helens.
And she spoke.
Oh.
And the grandfather will answer, and that's Mount Rainier, and all the land will be cleared to the ocean. And I was wondering when you think that might happen.
Let's see, Mount Rainier's in Washington, too?
Uh-huh.
Huh. I'm not too sure on that one. I haven't studied that much. But I do know that a lot of earth changes are upon us and that L.A. is a hot spot, so I'm watching the news and the current events very closely. Thank you for calling, okay?
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, an interesting question on the earth changes. It's funny, I was going to talk about earthquakes today, and then I thought, nah, better not. And then someone made a call, so I guess I had to mention something about it. L.A.'s chart has got a lot of early cardinals in it, including Uranus at early Cancer. So right now, L.A. is having a midlife crisis, so to speak, with the Uranus opposed Uranus. And because Uranus is a planet that rules earthquakes, because oftentimes we find Mars in square to Uranus or opposition to Uranus during the bigger quakes. Right now, L.A. is having a Uranus opposed Uranus that has been going on for about a year and will continue for about another year. So I would tend to think if we were going to get hit with a big one, then we would get hit probably within a year. Anyway, I like to think positive, nonetheless. So welcome to the Astrology Hour. I hope you had a pleasant weekend today. When I got into astrology, I found out so many things about myself. I think the reason why I have a love-hate relationship with this science is because when I get real narrow, real mundane with it, or real shallow with it, or basic, then it kind of bores me. When I'm alone or when I'm with somebody that really knows a lot about it, that can share with me, then I get my interest up again. I have always been a very intense guy, and one of the reasons why I'm not really good in relationships a lot is because of my Scorpio energy. Scorpio energy is very strange, and if you have it in your chart, then you'll be an individual that will have a battle with yourself between the hunger and the craving that you have for love and emotions and sex and all that stuff, and then the responsibility connected with maintaining a regular relationship that offers that. Those of us get involved in relationships, if we have Scorpio on our chart, then it's real tough to hide intensity in case we have it. So we do find a lot of people either loving too much or loving too hard or loving too intensely, getting stubborn or arrogant or explosive about their emotions. And so many times we find that people in relationships with Scorpio factor, whether it's any planet, rising, Mercury, Sun, Saturn, whatever, Neptune, Pluto, Jupiter, or even having a Pluto factor with Pluto in the seventh, Taurus rising would put Scorpio in the seventh. Any of that would create a very, very intense side to your personality that a lot of people might not like or need. Now, even those of us that have Scorpio are aware that if we get involved with other people with Scorpio, look out, because they don't play softball, they play hardball. And once their emotions are invested, then it gets kind of uncomfortable once you're in to try to get out. Well, I didn't understand this part of myself until I got into astrology. The funny thing about the Scorpio energy that we all have is I notice a lot of people with Scorpio factor carry a grudge. Or without knowing it, sometimes they'll make the comment, oh, I hate this person, or I hate that person, or I hate this group of individuals, or I totally hate this entire ethnic group or this race. Especially, you do find a lot of people, like, let's say, if they're from a prejudiced background, like maybe a white family in Mississippi or whatever, that a little Scorpio added to their chart without them even knowing what that does would promote and generate emotions that sometimes are unmanageable. And that's obviously when people get in trouble and they get involved in conflicts and wars and crime or hurting or killing or maiming other people or whatever. See, so controlling that Scorpio factor is real important. You know why? Because of the karma that's involved. When you have a Scorpio factor in your chart, and we all have Scorpio factor, let me make one thing clear. Whether you have Scorpio planets or eighth house planets, you all have a planet Pluto. And every one of you have an element, a vital organ in your aura, in your soul, in your energy that is Scorpio. So in a way, we all have the ability, depending on how much or how afflicted that energy is, to create a negative force inside of us that radiates fear, anxiety, pain, or vengeance, vindictiveness, or just outright hate and negativity. And this is karma. See, like, the funny thing about karma is that people think, you know, that first get into karma, and me included, that you always have karma with other people. You know, right away you meet somebody and say, do I have karma with this person, Farley? Or do I think I have karma with you? And it's always the karma you have with yourself. Because in that relationship, the karma is dictated or interpreted or analyzed or explained depending on how you feel about that other person. You might love them now, but down the road you might fear them. or you might hate them and love them, or just totally hate them. So you experience a relationship with an individual, and how you feel about that situation or that individual always interprets the karma. It's really difficult to tell people, well, you're supposed to love everyone unconditionally. I'm not saying that. But if you hate or fear or jealous of a certain individual, see, like a lot of people are jealous of their children, or they're frightened of losing them, or they're jealous of their partners. They're frightened of losing them. So anybody else that will try to interfere, like an estranged relative or an estranged father or some kind of school board or another man or another woman tries to interfere, then right away we are real quick to project the Scorpio factor of negative energy, like, ooh, I don't like them, or ooh, I want to kill them, or ooh, I hate them. And all that energy, it doesn't do a thing to hurt them. What it does karmically is it hurts us. And then you try to talk to people that have this energy, and a lot of people are real comfortable with their pain. They have this hate, they have this fear, they have this anger, they have this anxiety or this jealousy for a whole nation. Like, you can hate the Russians. You know, a lot of times you get in the army and they teach you to hate the Chinese or to hate the Vietnamese or the Russians or whatever. And right away you go into a boxing match, you're a fighter, and you hate your other opponent. You want to kill him. You're playing football. You want to kill the other team. All this energy is coming out, but it is not harmless energy. This energy is energy which is negative for our essence, for our situation, for our sense of balance. I think the most highly evolved individuals on this planet may not be filled with authentic love, but they would be void of hate and anger and frustration and fear and jealousy and vindictiveness, which a lot of us have even subtly. People will come up to me and say, oh, I don't hate anybody, or I'm not scared of anybody, or I'm not jealous or frightened of anyone. They'll come up with all this energy, and they're just spinning their wheels. Now, people tell white lies. People are afraid to be honest with themselves because they'll get mad, they'll get upset, and a whole iceberg of emotion will well up and explode out of an individual that's been containing. See, the Scorpio factor people are really tricky because what they do is they bottle it. They hide their emotions, and they put them in some deep, dark realm, usually somewhere in their body, where they might have a chronic ailment like the back or the genital region or the feet or the neck or the head or the arms or the hands. They'll take that pain and they'll bottle it somewhere in their body. And it'll come out in their everyday life, in their everyday nightmare of dealing with a chronic injury or chronic pain, or it could be even a serious problem if you bottle too much. It stays there. Obviously, if you don't process this energy, and if you don't learn forgiveness and mercy, and I don't care how bad, I mean, I do care if you've been butchered or if you've been thrown around traumatically and catastrophically. I do care about that. But I do, and I have to believe the universe is perfect. If there is a God, and if there is an afterlife, and if reincarnation and karma does exist, then I have to believe, as a metaphysician, that there is a reason why things happen the way they do. And that means that when I caught a ricochet in my eye when I was a kid, or when I had to have some minor surgery when I was a child, when I put a stick through the roof of my mouth when I was a baby in the car, that was bad. I got bit by my dog. I got in a catastrophic divorce. I had a perforated duodenal ulcer. Everybody has their bag of trauma. That for a long time, I used to be mad at the universe. You know, sometimes you can hate everything and say, oh, I've gotten a bad deal. My cards, you know, this universe has been bad to me. And that's when you get people that are so angry that they just want to go out and hurt and hate and kill everybody. And sometimes they end up doing it. They get themselves a scope rifle, get up on top of some building, and start shooting away. But the rest of us that have the knowledge and the wisdom and the power to be objective and to take a look around as to why we act like this emotionally, why we are scared of a certain person, why we hate. You could go out with some people for an afternoon, let's say a party of 30 people will go camping. When you get done, almost every person in that group will not like or will hate or be uncomfortable with one or more of the people in the other group. Happens every time. It's just you spend too much time with a bunch of people and you plug into the karma of hate, to the karma of emotion. Now, who does that hurt? Who does that affect? That doesn't hurt them. The hate is internalized. The karma is internalized. It's inside your body. It is inside your soul. And it is an essence that reflects outward to the universe so they can see it.
So they can see your problem. That you have anger, you have pain, you have hate. And sometimes if you don't process this by forgiving yourself or by forgiving others or by learning how to not really love other people, but not hate them, not be angry with them, learning forgiveness and mercy and grace and learning to say to yourself, the universe is perfect and I'm doing my thing and you're doing your thing. And if it's not comfortable, then I'll go my way and you go your way. But God bless you. If I get really mad at someone, I have a standard script inside of me. Instead of saying the old four-letter word, right, a lot of times if I get really mad, I'll try to replace that with, God bless you. You're wonderful. Thank you for coming. And they'll get really mad. They'll say, "What? I know what you mean by that. Why are you saying that to me? Why are you trying to be nice to me?" And I'll say, "You know why? Because I'm trying hard not to dislike you. Because I have a Scorpio moon with Pluto square moon. And I have come from an environment emotionally of carrying a lot of pain around in my body and a lot of pain around in my life and bottling it up." And then oftentimes the Scorpio factor individual, and like I say, all of us have this factor. If you ever find yourself bottling energy, having fear, having anger, having frustration, or having dislike or hate or anything on this planet, you're plugging into the Scorpio side of your nature. You definitely are. And then, let's say you're having a transit, like all the planets are in Scorpio. Volatile period. You get an Aquarius moon with Sun, Mercury, and Mars and Pluto all in Scorpio right now. And all these people with Taurus planets, with Aquarius planets, with Leo and with Scorpio, we're all in a big competitive mode. You hang out with people and there's lots of love, hate being thrown around. Lots of anger and frustration and fear and vengeance, feelings of jealousy, and it's terrible. It's ruining us. It's ruining society. In the Aquarian age, as we move closer and closer, as long as we don't blow ourselves up, I do have a dream one day that all the Earth can be in a forgiveness state. That forgiveness would be a major bottom line of getting along with people. No matter who they are, no matter what they're doing, no matter where they come from, unless they're damaging themselves or society, in which case they probably should be sent to in one major area. That should be a law, like stealing. No, thou shalt forgive. How come that wasn't one of the Ten Commandments? Did you ever think of the Ten Commandments and what they really mean and why some very, very important things were not included in there? Like thou shalt not be competitive, or thou shalt not hate, or thou shalt learn forgiveness, or thou shalt be merciful, or thou shalt be brotherly and humanitarian. You know, I know some of the Ten Commandments are important and they're good, but you could probably add about 30 more that would be better or important. As far as adding that. But you know, a lot of us walk around with pain, with diseases, with pain in our bodies, with pain in our stomach, in our digestive tract. We end up with unbalanced female situations. You know why a lot of people have female problems? It's because they feel torn up inside about something. There's something in their lives that is not balanced, so they feel upset about it, and the symbolism of bad health, you manifest exactly how you feel. You got to manage carefully how you feel. If you want to feel good and be healthy, then you have to either stop letting things bother you or seek resolution. That's right. By finding resolution, if there's somebody out there that says they love you and they're lying to you or they're not telling you the truth and they have information that would help you find resolution, don't you understand? The road to forgiveness lies along the path of resolution. And the path of resolution is found in the forest of truth. And the forest of truth is located in the state of further truth. So if you seek resolution to overcome your pain, and you are around people who say they know and love you, then you'll find out if they really do, but whether or not they tell you the truth. How could you associate with someone, even a best friend or a parent, that has information they could give you, right? They have a way of helping you not feeling so torn up anymore by overcoming a dread illness. A lot of people live their whole lives in pain because they have not found resolution in the spirit. And many times that means letting go of people that help you manifest that pain by not telling you the truth or by not helping you seek further truth. So when you go about your lives, and especially if you were able to record this particular show on forgiveness and mercy and karma and such, remember that the pain is an inward thing that we reflect outwards. And sometimes if there's no other way to get through the pain,
it's best not to feel torn up about things or wasted about something. You know, and never use the term sick. You know, a lot of times people make themselves unbalanced by using that word and how they feel. And it manifests. I feel healthy about all of you. I feel healthy over this show. I feel healthy about my life. I feel wonderful. I feel together, in shape. I'm healthy. We use so many negatives to tell us how we feel. And we use the God mantra, I am. Now, what do you think that does? If you use the word I or I am, and then you put an emotion behind that, no wonder it manifests. Because you are using the God power within, the I am, the I, to manifest what you're saying. And how many times have you heard people say, oh, I'm, or, and even if they say to you, how are you, and you're in the hospital dying, then you should still try to reverse that by using the I am mantra, by saying, I feel great, I'm wonderful, I'm better, I'm healed, I'm well. Because there's so many times we naturally use the negatives in how we feel that we're not able to forgive ourselves and let go of this anger and this pain and this misery. It's so self-destructive. It's so masochistic. It's hedonistic. It's sadistic. It's all that, right? Self-forgiveness is the key. And then forgiving others so you're not mad at them or you don't hate them. I have a friend who oftentimes tells me what he feels about the entire South America and Central American race of people. And oftentimes he gets really upset about it. He makes it clear that he doesn't like these people. You know what? His car got smashed when it was parked with like $13,000 damage from one of these illegal immigrants who was driving drunk without a license or insurance. It's funny how the universe will give you a reason to be mad or hate, or will focus on your karma if you don't experience resolution and truth and forgiveness. Because it doesn't hurt anybody but you. You're the only one it hurts. That's not going to hurt me. Now, there's people out there, I'm sure not everyone loves me. Some of the letters I get, some of the calls I get, you know, once in a while they'll get those calls and say, Farley, you got this ego. Or Farley, you don't know what you're talking about. Or we're going to get you, whatever, you know. There's some people out there that are not too happy. A lot of times when you're wasting your time on your computer or your Nintendo or in front of your TV set or arguing and fighting with people you're supposed to love and forgive, sit down with a pen and a paper and try to be objective about how you feel. And see if you can focus on your fear and your anger and your hate and your pain, your frustration, and your competitive urges. And see if you can find the source of that pain. And then see if you can seek resolution through either truth, further truth, or forgiveness. Letting go of it. Saying, it's okay, it's not for me, so I'm going to let go. And then see if you don't feel better, especially during these tough times, these Scorpio transits, which can be hard on a lot of us. And the wonderful thing I like about astrology, like I said from the very beginning, is that I had all these emotions inside of me, and before I knew about astrology, I had so much pain and so much anger and hate and frustration that I needed someone to tell me, Farley, your Scorpio factor is like a 10. You're a Scorpio guy. I said, no way. I don't get along with Scorpios. I hate them. Oh, well, you are a Scorpio, Farley. Oh, okay. So you're able to embrace it. You know, when you learn about astrology, if you relate to this topic, you better send for your chart. You might find out you're Scorpio rising, Venus, Mars, Saturn, Jupiter, one of those. If you're born in 1959, 1947, you probably got Jupiter in Scorpio. If you're born in 1954, 55, and part of 53, you might have Saturn in Scorpio. So, you know, you find out a lot about yourself and the way you think with astrology.